today we're doing Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. We're going to get probably about halfway down the page and discuss some of the inyanim of being Melamed Torah to children, to grandchildren. These are the themes that emerge in Daf Lamed Amud Aleph. So maybe we'll just hit on a couple of points. And then next week, we'll probably focus more on the bottom of Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where the Gemara teaches us a couple of critical things about how to actually schedule learning Torah, how to have a proper schedule for Torah learning throughout your life. And the Gemara talks about Sifrei Torah, whether our Sifrei Torah are perfect or not perfect. Okay, great. So let's begin the bottom of Daf Chavtes and Beis. The Gemara tells us an unusual story that Rav Chista used to say to Rav Huna how great Rav Hamnuna was. So Rav Chista said to Rav Huna, next time Rav Hamnuna comes, I'd like to meet him. So when Rav Hamnuna came, he wasn't wearing a turban. So he said, my time lo prista sudra. So Rav Huna says to Rav Hamnuna, where's your sudar? Where's your turban? Amalei delona sivna. He says, I'm not married. What kind of single guy? Where's the turban? It's hard to find a shidduch that way. I don't know. But, not a married man, so I'm not going to wear a turban. Adrinu la ape mine. So he wouldn't look at him. Why wouldn't he look at him? Because he's not wearing a yarmulke? No, that's not why he wasn't. He's not wearing a hat. He's not wearing his borsellino. That's why he doesn't look at him. No. He's not looking at him because the explanation of why he wasn't wearing the turban was that he wasn't married. I don't look at people that aren't married. Rav Huna l'tameid is Rav Huna l'shitasa damar ben esrim shon v'lo nasi isha kol yamav ba'aveira. That a person who hits the age of 20 and is not yet married, his whole life is an aveira. Whoa, ba'aveira zal gadaydach? Don't you think we might be a little harsh with that? Ela eima kol yamav bihirur aveira. No, it just means hirur aveira. That it's going to be very difficult to avoid hirurim if a man is 20 years old and he's not married. Till 20, Hashem waits for you to get married. Once he hit 20, Hashem says, let his bones rot. And Rav Chista comments, the reason that I'm so much better than all my friends, because I got married when I was only 16. So if you're ever wondering why I'm so much greater than everyone else, it's because of that. We have Nasivna Barbesa, Ravamina, Lusatan Girvenecha. And had I gotten married at the age of 14, then, wow, that would have been something for the Satan. So that would have knocked him out. Arrows in his eyes. I think we have such a similar expression in Sukkah, yeah. If you look at the Sukkah, Sukkah Daflam Ches, where it talks about the lulav. When we shake the lulav, Nanum, Argira Be'ina de Sitna. The arrows in the eyes, like we're poking the Satan in the eyes. Ouch, ouch. Every time you shake the lulav. Okay. Amalei Rava l'Rav Nassan. So Rava says Rav Nassan. So why did I read all this? For this next line. Rava says Rav Nassan Barami. Adi yadach al tzavarei debreich mishitzar ve'edesar mitarti. You have your hand on your son's neck from 16 to 22. What's he saying? Is it Stam? He's saying, I noticed you've been choking your son for 6 years. What does he mean? Your hand is on your son's neck from 16 to 22. So, Amar Rashi Akadosh, Ba'od Yadcha Tekifa Albincha, while you still have some control over your kid, Kodim Sheyagdil, before he gets older, V'lo Yikabel Tochaschah, and he stops listening to you, Hasiu Isha, get him married. Meaning you have a short window where your kid is mature enough to get married and he still listens. He still cares what you have to say. So it's 16 to 22. That window no longer exists. But 16 to 22 is the assumption. But it didn't say anything about marriage. It just said that you have your hand on your son's neck from 16 to 22. How does that have to do with marriage? How does Rashi know that has to do with marriage? Who said anything about marriage? So Pashto says, how does Rashi have know it has something to do with marriage? Because of everything else we just read. We've been talking about, should I get married first? Should I learn Torah first? What age should a person get married? When does Hashem grow impatient if a person is not married? Who doesn't want to look at who because he's not married? So it means about getting married, not being married, getting married. So good, so Rashi says this line must be about that as well. Um, And then if you read further in Rashi, Mishetzar Shnin, from 16 years, he gives man lichnos. It's time for him to get married. And certainly don't let it go past 22. Lashon Acher, another possible interpretation, says Rashi, Ad Yadcha al Tzavarei Debreich, Bishah Sha'od Yadcha Tekif Alav, Havizar Lelamdo Tochachos. Make sure that's when you give him Musar. You want to impart life lessons to your kid, do it while he's listening. Ve'izez mano. There are a lot of people that impart very important life lessons to their kids. Problem is they're rocking their kids to sleep when they're 3 weeks old, and they're telling them all the life lessons, but the kids never hear it again afterwards. So that's not going to help. The kid doesn't understand it yet. Wait till he's old enough to understand it, and he's still listening, and give him tochacha. Less than 16, he doesn't have any das to be mekabel, kolkach. So you really can't go too hard on him because he just doesn't get it. He just thinks you're being mean, and he doesn't see the wisdom of it. And when he's more than 22 years old, he'll say, "I don't need you, old man." And he's just not gonna go too hard on him. Forget it. He's just not gonna be in your life anymore. So the young kid is gonna get sad and angry, and the old kid is just gonna be okay. Enough with you. So you need to. That's when you need to give the mussar. That's when you need to impart life lessons. So very different interpretation. Second pshat in Rashi, nothing to do with getting married. It's just about finding a key time to impart life lessons. Meaning, this is what we call formative years. Formative years. Now, what's it doing in our Gemara then? Meaning, the first pshat in Rashi makes a lot of sense to be in our Gemara, because first pshat in Rashi is it's about marriage. Second pshat in Rashi, what's it doing over here? It's not about, this is a din in Chinuch. So, the truth is, the very next sugya is Ad Hechem Chayav Adam Lamed Es Beno Torah. And it's going to be all about Chinuch, teaching children. So it's a bridge into the next sugya. But it could be that these two sugyas are bridged because there's a connection between what is a person's formative years where he can learn life lessons and when a person should be getting married. That once a person is too set in his ways and he's ready at the point where he's no longer really forming his personality, it could be that it's going to be more challenging for him to get married. Because if he's no longer pliable, it means he doesn't bend so much. It's going to be difficult to adjust to married life. He's so set in his ways already. It's going to be very difficult for him to compromise. If he's too immature, and he thinks anytime anyone criticizes him, it's because they're mean and they hate him, then he's also going to have a really hard time with marriage. So Dafka, it's the same thing. It's the same midos that are necessary to be melamed him, tochachos and musar, that are also necessary for marriage. The Tosus Riazake says a little bit different. Yarchal Tzavarei Debreich, Kolomar, Dikdek Acharav Sheyelech B'derech Tova, Shem Yelech B'zeh Azman, Kol Yomav Yelech Ba, Tichsiv Chanoch Lenar Al Pidar Kar, Gileu B'derech Ru'i Elo Gam Kiaskun Lo Yosem Yimena. Tosus Riazake says this is about forming habits. That things that he does as a kid, those are habits that he could kick. Those are habits that could be here one day, gone the next. During this time period in his life, he gets into a routine, he forms habits, and those habits are going to be with him forever. And that's what it means. While you're still in control, make sure that the habits that he forms are healthy habits. Now, or v'istim mefarshi, says the Tosri Azakin, Yad Chamamish. Tosri Azakin is in the margin of the Gemara. Yad Chamamish. Literally. How have we been understanding Yad Chal Savarei Debreich? You're in control of your son, you have influence on your son. Maybe it just means your hand is on his neck. Yad Chal Savarei Debreich. You could beat him. Kolomar, Hakeu Derech Tochacha. He doesn't do something right. Teach him how to do right. by making it something he's going to regret for doing wrong. That's a little bit surprising. Why is it surprising? Not just because it doesn't work, but maybe it did work, you know, back in the day. But it's surprising because it's against the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, and here in Kiddushin, that a person is not supposed to hit Beno Gadol. It's a violation of Lifnei Iver if you hit a son who's at a certain age. Why is it a violation of Lifnei Iver? Because when someone punches you, you punch back. So the father's going to slug the kid will punch the father right back. Lifnei Iver. So you're not allowed to hit a kid if he's at a certain age. Shulchan Aruch Pasens in Yerodeh Simon Reish Mem that someone who hits his kid is Dino Benidui. So the Rama over there says, yeah, you know how old is? After 22 or 24 years old. But less than that, you could still hit him. Where does Rama get it? Why 22, 24? I would have thought way younger than that. Certainly the 16-year-old I would think is ready to punch you back. Why does Rama say it's only Benidui, it's only really a violation of Lifnei Iver if he's 22 or 24 years old? So probably because of our Gemara. And that's what the Shach points out. It's Tali in the Machlok, it's in our Gemara. The Shach on the side of the Shulchan Aruch there in Sefer Tes says it's Tali in our Gemara. Because we're assuming that the Adiyadich al Savarei Debreich, like the Tosri Azakin says, that it means literally your hands are on his neck. Good, so that's from 16 to 22. So how old should a person be when he gets married? It seems to be a stira. Because our Gemara has a few different ages. 16 to 22, then the next line, Timni Srei Adesim Arba, 18 to 24. There's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Ben Shmona Esrei, L'chupa. We have 16 being great, 14 being even better. So how old should a person actually be? The Rambam in the 15th paragraph of Hilchos Ishah, Salach HaBeis, writes that the chiyuv of a person to get married is when he's 17. Torah says 18. So where do we get 17 from? Why does Rambam say 17 against the Mishnah? Huh? Yosef. When he was 17, he was a Nar. Right?
It's a Nar, like it's a Chiddush that he should have been. He was immature for the
age. But he should have been of age to get married, okay. But do Chazal say that? Do Chazal say that he should have been married? I don't know. The Magen Mishnah says that 17 sometimes means 18. Because there are two ways of counting. There's which year of life you're in, and there's how many years of life have passed. So maybe when the Rambam means 17, he means after 17 Shanim Shlemos have passed. And when the Mishnah says 18, it means in the 18th year of life. But to say the Mishnah means that would mean that every other age mentioned in the Mishnah also means that. Ben Chamesh Lemikra means in the fifth year of life, not when he's 5 years old. Ben Esther Lemishnah means Chamesh Esther the Talmud, all the rest. Ben Esther Mishnah, all the other. So that's a little bit, okay, that's what you would have to say according to the Magen Mishnah. But the fundamental question that really is dealt with by Achronim, but not in the most satisfactory way, you know, not in the most satisfying way, I should say, is, you know, getting married and having children is a mitzvah in the Torah. In fact, not just a mitzvah in the Torah, it is the first mitzvah in the Torah. Pruravu. How could it be that you have a mitzvah? When do you become chayv in mitzvos? What age? 13. So you have a mitzvah in the Torah that we're recommending delaying for 5 years? It's recommended? That a person delay a mitzvah in the Torah for 5 years? If it's a mitzvah in the Torah, then shalosh esrei, the mitzvahs. So you should do mitzvahs at the age of 13. You should get married at the age of 13. Why doesn't he get married at the age of 13? So the Achronim say some variation of the following. That whenever you have to do a mitzvah, there's you always have to think of whether there are prerequisites. Whether it's possible to do the mitzvah. Meaning, let's say, take the last mitzvah in the Torah, mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah. So, I'm going to turn 13, I'm going to say, I have a mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah, get me cloth, get me some ink, I'm writing a Sefer Torah. What's the problem with that? I have no idea how to write a Sefer Torah. In order to write a Sefer Torah, I need to take many hours and hours, 10,000 hours of classes to learn Safros, to figure out how to make all the letters, to form all the, then I can write a Sefer Torah. If I do it before, then I'm doing it wrong. And then it's not the mitzvah at all. So maybe getting married, yeah, of course you're chayv when you're 13. So once you're 13, start preparing for it. How do you prepare for it? Well, you have to learn a lot of Torah. You have to develop your personality. You have to become a giving person. You have to do a lot of chesed. All that, everything else, it's all preparation. All of that is preparation, it's prerequisite. It's like Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's famous vart on the Torah Shem Ve'Eiver. Right? What does he say? That Yaakov wasn't punished for the time that he spent learning Torah by Shem Ve'Eiver for his failures in Kibbut Aveim, because he was learning Torah. So Yaakov says, I don't understand. Your parent tells you, go to the store and buy me a gallon of milk. And you go to the store, but on the way you stop in yeshiva for 6 years and learn. And then you come back 6 years later with a gallon of milk. So did you do Kibbut Aveim properly? Not so much. It's nice to learn, but what does that have to do with your failure in Kibbut Aveim? So Yaakov says, no, because what was his mission? His mission was to go get married and be, and not just stam, marry the first girl you see, to marry someone in a way that you're going to be able to continue the Masorah of Klal Yisrael. And in order to do that, there's some preparation that has to be done. And he had to go into Gullus to do this, into a dangerous society, and he had to learn from the experts of how to deal with dangerous societies. Yitzchak taught him all about Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak only knew Eretz Yisrael. So he had to learn Shiva Shem Ve'Eiver. He had to learn how to deal with it. And that's why Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says elsewhere, that's why when Yaakov had to teach Yosef, why did he single out Yosef? He taught Yosef the Torah Shem Ve'Eiver. What about the Torah Yitzchak Avinu? That he taught to all of his children, because they were all going to be close to him. Shem Ve'Eiver had to be given to Yosef, because Yosef was going to go into a dangerous society. They were prerequisites. So he says, you know what, it's mashal ma'adavar doma, not that your parent asks you to go get a gallon of milk and you stop and learn for 6 years. He says, no, mashal ma'adavar doma, your parents ask you, go buy me a lulav. And you don't know the first thing about what a kasha lulav looks like. So you stop in the base medrash on the way and learn hilchos lulav. So you go buy a lulav. That's part of the mitzvah. So yeah, ben sholosh esrei the mitzvos. At the age of 13, a person has two mitzvos. And yet this whole gemara never mentions, even the best, gira bein at the sitna would have been at 14. Not 13. What do you mean? What about the mitzvah? You have to do the mitzvah. But it involves some preparation. It's a significant enough mitzvah that a person can't just do it. It's something that has to be prepared for. Then the Gemara tells us, after the two dots, Ad heichon chayav adam lamed espino Torah. Now that question you could have understood in any number of ways. Ad heichon, until when does one have to teach his son Torah? It's talking about, like, till what time each day do you have to teach a son Torah? Till what age do you have to teach a son Torah? What does it mean? So this is one of those questions that you can only really understand the question once you see the answer. Because otherwise you have no idea what question it's asking. So Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you, Ad Heichon Amar Avidom Shmuel, Gon Zvulun Ben Dan, Shalim Do Avi Aviv Mikro Mishnah Talmud Alach Sva Gados. Like Zvulun Ben Dan, who Rashi says, was a guy. Don't think biblical characters, because there was no Zvulun Ben Dan in the Bible. Just a guy who lived at that time, whose grandfather taught him Mikra Mishnah Talmud Alach Svagados, taught him everything. So Gemara says, that's the extent you have to teach him everything? Mesa Limdo Mikra and Melamdo Mishnah. I thought you only have to teach Mikra, not Mishnah. So forget about Talmud Alach Svagados, you don't even have to get as far as Mishnah. Vamarav and Mikra Zutorah, and not only that, even Mikra is not what you think it is. Mikra is only Torah. As opposed to, Rashi says, "V'lo neviim k'suvim, not nach." So Gemara says, we're going to see later in the Amud, Mikra means Tanakh, but over here, Mikra means just Torah. So Gemara says, "K'zvulim ben dan v'lo k'zvulim ben dan." What we mean at Heichan is that you should be somewhat like Zvulim ben dan. What does it mean, somewhat? K'zvulim ben dan shalim do avi avi v'lo k'zvulim ben dan di luhasa mikra mishu talmud alach svagaz di luhacha mikra levad. That you should be like Zvulun Ben Dan is that you have to teach your grandchildren Torah. But not like Zvulun Ben Dan in that his grandfather took it much further than he was obligated to take it. His grandfather taught him everything. You only have to teach your grandchild Mikra. But the Chiv teach your son Torah extends to your grandchildren as well. So Gemara says, really? Whatever happened to the pasuk "Matam osam es b'neichem"? Doesn't b'neichem teach us v'lo b'nei b'neichem, that your sons are not your grandsons? Aye, but it's a stira because there's another pasuk "Vadatam levnechu levnei vanecha." Sounds like grandsons also. No, that pasuk just teaches kol melamed is b'no Torah malalav v'kasuv ki limdu lo b'no ben b'not sof kol adoros. That pasuk teaches us that when you teach your son, and it's only your son that you're obligated to teach, it's as if you taught many generations. So how can you say that we're obligated to teach kizvul and bendan, even grandchildren? Pasuk says b'neichem. Doesn't b'neichem mean v'lo b'nei b'neichem? So Gemara says machlokas. The other way to darshan is b'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. You have to teach your son's Torah, you don't have to teach your daughter's Torah. V'hodatam levanecha levnei vanecha teaches that you do have to teach your grandchildren Torah. So it's machlokas tanaim. What emerges over here, machlokas tanaim. Do you have to teach your grandchildren Torah? Machlokas tanaim. What was the question we started with? Ad heichan. What was it? What did that mean now? So Rashi points out, based on the answer, it seems like it means until how many generations do you have to still teach? Do you have to teach more than your son? Do you have to teach your grandson also? And the Gemara says, machlokas. That according to one opinion, you should be like Zvulun Ben Dan and even teach your grandson Torah. Now, what about a great-grandson? So if you read this Gemara like Rashi, simple reading of the Gemara, Ad Heichan means, how far do you have to teach grandson? Great-grandson? No, not your responsibility. If you're fortunate enough to be able to still, you know, be of sound mind, when your great-grandson is old enough to learn Torah, then you don't have to teach him. That's what it sounds like. Does that mean that if I have my great-grandson, or I have Ben Chavero, it's the same chiyuv? Sounds like it. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the first paragraph of Hilchos Talmud Torah, that it's a davar pasha that Ben Beno is kodem leben Chavero. That a great-grandson comes before Ben Chavero. Because v'odatam levanecha levnei vanecha, remember the other drasha we learned from there, is that when you malamed his b'no, it's ki'ilu malamed ben b'no, and his son ad sof kaladoros. Well, who cares? Meaning, if there's no maila of teaching sof kaladoros, of teaching all future generations, then what's the great maila of saying that when you teach your son, it's like you're teaching ad sof kaladoros? You might as well teach someone else. No, but teaching those doros is the whole point of teaching the son. So if you're able to skip that, meaning the Gemara says you're melamed ben Torah, it's ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai. Why is it ki'ilu kibla me'ar Sinai? It's because there's this transmission of Masorah, one generation to the next. So if you're able to skip a generation, then you're doing something that's very, very great. You're able to bypass a link and just go straight to closer to the source. So what the Gemara was asking is that heichan chayev. Does a great-grandfather have to do... No, if he did a good enough job on teaching his son and his grandson, it's not his chiyuv to worry about a great-grandson. But is it a maila greater than anybody else? Says Kesef Mishnah, yeah, absolutely it's a maila greater than just teaching a random person. It's absolutely a maila to teach ben b'no. What about ben b'to? What about your grandson, your daughter's son? So there's a discussion. Meiri says, yeah, grandson means your daughter's son also. But the Kesef Mishnah, the first paragraph of Chassam Torah, is not sure. Is Ben Bito different than Ben Chaver? Now, what's the lumdus of that suffix? Do you have to teach Ben Bito Torah? L'chora, what the lumdus is as follows. When we say that there's a chiv to teach ben b'no Torah, that you have an obligation to teach ad heichon chayv, that you're chayv to teach even ben b'no. V'odatam levenecha u'levnei venecha. How do we understand that chiv? the chiyuv of a datum of nechel v'nei v'nech? Is it an extension of the chiyuv to teach your son? That part of the reason you're teaching your son is so that he'll be able to teach his son. So you just skip straight ahead and teach his son, but it's an extension of your chiyuv to teach your son. Any generation that comes later is an extension of that, of your obligation to teach your son. So then you have no obligation to teach your daughter. So the extension, who's going to teach your daughter son Torah? His father. I don't know. His paternal grandfather. It's not my problem. If it's an extension of the chiyuv to teach your son. Or is it no? That the chiyuv is to carry on a mesorah. How does one carry on a mesorah? How does one pass on a mesorah? To be melami Torah to all those who are chayiv in Lima Torah, in your family, in your line of the mesorah, in your chain. Why don't I have to teach my daughter? It's technicality. She's not chayiv. I mean, really, there is a chiyuv to pass on the mesorah to my daughter. I just do it in a different way than I do to my sons. So I have a chiyuv to pass on the mesorah to all my descendants, to all my children, and all my grandchildren. With the girls, I'll do it by teaching them how to be shomrei Torah mitzvos and Yirah Shemayim and everything else. And with the boys, I'll do it by teaching them Torah. But the chiyuv is not a chiyuv of milami Torah. The chiyuv is a milami the mesorah. How are you milami the mesorah? So you milami the mesorah in different ways to different genders. So what the chakira might be, what the lumdus of the suffik might be, or of the machlokas might be, is the chiyuv to teach a grandson a function of a chiyuv to teach a son Torah, and it's purely narrowly defined as teaching Torah? Or do you say no, it's about a chiyuv to pass on a mesorah? So it's more broadly defined. And Ben Bito is an extension of Bito also, but everyone has to get the Masorah in the way Chanoch Lenar Al Pi Darko, in the way that they're going to be able to receive it. So for the girls it's one way, for the boys it's another way. Slachora the suffix. Good. Now, the Gemara seems also clear that you don't have to teach Ben Beno, Mishnah, Talmud, any of that. Only Mikra. Because Lok is Zvulun Ben Don, because by Zvulun Ben Don they taught everything, we don't have to teach everything. What about your son? Do you have to teach your son Mishnah and Talmud and all the rest? Or Nevi Maksubim for that matter? Doesn't say in our Gemara. The Rambam, in the first paragraph of Talmud Torah, Alech HaZayin, the Rambam writes, V'chayiv lolamdo b'schar at sheikra Torah shebichsav kula. You have to teach him b'schar, you even have to pay until he learns Torah shebichsav kula. How do I know? So a couple of things. First of all, how do I know that it's... So what is he... Several things. How do I know you have to pay for it? What does Torah shebichsav kula mean as opposed to what? And why only Torah shebichsav and not Mishnah and everything else? Where does he know that from, that it's not everything else? So first, just even what the Rambam means is machlokas. Because the Mishnah writes that the Rambam does not mean that you normally have to teach a Mishnah and Talmud, it's just that you only have to pay for Tanakh. The Rambam is saying that you don't have to teach a Mishnah and Talmud at all. But when you teach Torah Shebichsav, not only do you have to teach Torah Shebichsav, you have to teach Torah Shebichsav b'schar. You even have to pay for it if that's what it takes. The Lacha Mishnah says no. What the Rambam is telling you is, what do you have to pay for? You have to pay for teaching him Tanakh. What about Mishnah and Talmud? Well, then teach him. You don't have to pay for it, but you do have to teach him. You still have to teach him. And then the Torah quotes a day that you have to teach him Mishnah and Talmud bischarim lo dechikale, if it's not too much trouble, if it's not too much of a burden. Now, it's a little bit strange because the Gemara asked on the sheet of Shmuel from a Braisa, right? The Gemara had said that that what? That Shmuel said that you should teach Kizvulun Ben Da and only Mikra. And then where it asked, Shmuel had said Kizvulun Ben Da, you should teach everything. And where it asked, but I thought Melamdo Mikra and Melamdo Mishnah. Well, maybe it's not a stira at all. Maybe Melamdo Mikra and Melamdo Mishnah means to pay for it. And when we say to be like Zulun Ben Dan, where you teach everything, that means without paying for it. How do I know that it's a stira at all? Why don't the Gemara just give that answer? So the Machna suggests that what the Ram means is that there's two chiv. Machna has the following brilliant pshat. Says there are two chivim of a father, and we'll close with this for today. Two chivim on a father to teach his son, says the Machna. There's a chiv that's derived from the pasuk "Matamasam espenechem ledaber bam," which is a chiv of a father to teach his son, whether he does it on his own or whether he hires other people to do it, he has to make sure that gets done, and that's only Torah Shebichsav. And then there's a second chiv, "Vishinantam levanecha." Shinun means even Mishnah. Levanecha doesn't even mean just Banecha. That's not only on the father, that's everyone. Banecha, Elut HaTalmid, Chazal Darshan. But the father is the first line of defense in that Chiyuv. He's the first one. He's Kodam L'Kal Adam. Why would the father be Kodam L'Kal Adam if Banecha is Elut Talmidim, if it applies to everyone? Well, it's just like the mitzvah of Tzedakah, Karov Kodem. When it comes to the mitzvah of being Malamit Torah, Karov Kodem. Whoever's closest first. But that chiv is teach Mishnah and Gemara also. So again, two chiv. A chiv in the matam asam as mechem daber bam, that's Torah Shebichsav, and that's only the father. And then you have a chiv shinantam levnecha, that's elu talmidecha, that's everybody, not just the father, and that's Mishnah and Gemara and everything else as well. The second chiv is not a chiv to pay. It's only a chiv to teach. I have no obligation to pay your tuition, but I do have an obligation to teach you, because you're ben chaver. And the fact that a father plays more of a role in Mishnah Gemara is only midin kedima, like you have by the dinim of tzedakah. So now we understand the Gemara, because what did the Gemara say? Ad hichon chayev lelamdo. When Shmuel was talking, he wasn't talking about the second chiyuv, he was talking about the first chiyuv. Chayev ha'av lelamdo. Is there a chiyuv on the father to pay? So you can't say that Shmuel was Shmuel must have been talking about paying tuition. Shmuel must have been talking about b'china. And then the Bryce is talking about paying tuition. You can't say that, because Shmuel couldn't have been talking about b'china, because he was talking about the first chiyuv. The first chiyuv is a chiyuv to even pay. So you couldn't just give the answer, Shmuel was talking about doing it for free. No, because he was talking about the chiv of the matamos of zbenechem da berbam, and that's a chiv to pay. And that's why the Gemara had to answer, because zvulun ben dan velo kizvulun ben dan. That we don't do exactly like zvulun ben dan. Enochinami, to pay, you only have to do mikra. Beyond mikra, you don't have to pay for. So the Makna says, you have to understand that it's tzvei dinim to understand why the Gemara didn't just give the answer of being mechalik between paying and not paying. Okay, next week, Bezer Hashem, on Monday, we're going to have a shiur early on Monday because I have to go to YU. I can't say within earshot. I don't even know yet. But if DRS makes a Sarah check, I have to accompany the whole 11th and 12th grade to Sarah check. So 11:15 probably we'll start shiur. And we'll do the wide lines. The wide lines of Laman Amral, Alif Samar Makomas Shiv. That's the Leibniz stuff. It was like the bridge shiur to get there.